We'll bring you the July 29, 2011 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, with this rain report. Thumb through an issue of QST, the official magazine of the ARRL, the National Association of Amateur Radio, and you'll discover one of the features that has appeared in the monthly publication for decades, product reviews. The man behind those product reviews is Ed Hare, W1RFI, the manager of the ARRL lab. Hare spoke at the 2011 Dayton Hamvention this past May. This week, we bring you the second of three excerpts from that talk.
The product review process is something that we've done over decades to try to help hams answer the question, what's the radio to buy for them? K1RO, Mark Wilson, former chief operating officer, is now the product review editor. He's semi-retired from the league, but we brought him back to do that work. And our goal is to review every major piece of ham equipment and at least as many of the accessories as we have room to. Now, we'll go off and we'll buy these right off the shelf. In fact, if you look in the product review where you'll see with almost every one of the manufacturers the occasional problem documented, we're not getting gold-plated units. I mean, we'll just call one of the dealers, say, send us one. They grab one, take it off the shelf. They're glad to get the business, and then we'll put that through its paces. We'll then put it into a testing process. Now, a full-blown all-mode, all-band HF transceiver will take at least a week on the screen room. We have a cage door. We lock that. There's a space underneath where we slide food underneath for the test engineer. We're not too sure what he does about sanitation. We've never asked. At the end of the week, usually the testing is done. Some of the ones that are like HF up through 70 centimeters with more modes and dual receivers, this and that, might take us 2 full weeks of testing. Anytime we have a question about the test results, we'll retest those internally for ourselves. We'll get questions back from the editors. We'll get questions back from the manufacturers. And some of these have been back in the screen room a few times. The review then gets written either by headquarters staff or some of our technical volunteers. We'll then send the draft review and the test results to the manufacturer. We want them to check this for technical accuracy. And I've seen this be important in a couple of ways. We had one review where we gigged the manufacturer for leaving out a feature. And the manufacturer gets back to us and says, well, no, that feature actually exists in the radio. It's just not documented in the manual. Now, that's a problem, too. So we now change the review to gig them for not putting information about the feature in the manual. Another one came about. It's interesting. I don't see him here, but Rick Lindquist was the product review editor at the time. And he used a very common English colloquialism. It says, well, a pox on Yacom wood, that was the brand, for leaving off a certain common feature. We know what it means, those of us who have English as a first language. And so that gets sent off to the manufacturer, a Japanese company, who the U.S. distributor reads it and gets back to us and says, well, we like the review, we think it's all right, except for we'd like you to change one little part of it, he says, because do you have any idea how that's going to be translated into Japanese? Yes, so may they develop open festering sores on their body for not doing this, just would not have cut it. We made a change to that pretty quickly, for good and proper reason. So the review then gets published, and then about 3 months later, it will be available for sale. We sell these when we're done, typically now through the auction we hold in the fall every year. Now, these product reviews are going to help members decide what their needs are, but to do that, they have to look at who they are and what they do. The casual operator is going to need something different more than likely than the serious contester. Do you do phone, CW, digital? What's your thing? Now, if you're the casual operator, more than likely you care more about the ergonomics, how it's put together, what controls are on the front, what controls are on the back. Things like interference and noise reduction can be important to everybody. The big gun usually cares about raw performance in a lot of ways. They'll need every bit of dynamic range to have that work well in a big multi-station environment with very high gain, antennas up pretty high. The mobile operator is going to have a different set of needs. So look at these reviews and see what you want. Now, this shows you the screen room where we do the product review testing. It's a combination of some relatively new equipment, although what we call relatively new now, for example, we have our spectrum analyzer, a nice HP 8563. It's now 17 years old. It's no longer supported by the manufacturer, so we're looking at ways we're going to be able to acquire some newer test equipment. Every year it gets calibrated. We send it out. It comes back with Cal stickers on it. Pretty important. You know, the reviews also work with the manufacturers because that's very important for amateur radio. We'll often uncover problems in the testing of a radio. And most of the time, the manufacturer is simply not aware of that issue, whether it's some harmonic that occurs under unusual circumstances. So we'll then share the test methods, the test results, and they'll often correct the problem. And what you'll usually see in QST is we like that test result table to reflect what you're going to buy when you go off and get your radio. So we'll often retest the change that the manufacturer has made, put that on the test table, but in the running text, we're going to describe any significant problems encountered during the review. We like it. I mean, the members are benefiting. Now when they buy that radio, it'll be better than it would otherwise be. We also do advertisement acceptance. So every month when these manufacturers are going to put ads in QST, the lab reviews them for technical accuracy. Now, we don't mind puffery. Well, we have the best receiver ever made. Doesn't have any specific meaning. If they come up and this receiver has the best dynamic range ever tested, we're going to take a close look at that, make sure it is indeed the best we've ever tested. We also now permit gain figures and antenna ads.
You're listening to a talk by Ed Hare, W1RFI, manager of the ARRL lab, discussing the nuts and bolts of those product reviews that appear on an ongoing basis in QST, the official magazine of the ARRL. We'll conclude this excerpt from Ed's 2011 Dayton Hamvention talk in a moment. This is The Rain Report, now available as a podcast on iTunes.
There's an interesting tale that goes with advertisement acceptance. Brad Thomas was our advertising manager at the time, and of course we worked closely with him to resolve these issues. Well, one day I'm flipping through a magazine at home, and I saw an ad. You ever see those little indoor TV antennas shaped like a satellite dish with all these claims about how it pulls signals right out of the air, no licensing required and all that? Well, I took one of those down to our graphics department, and I had them strip it out into four-color negatives. And we faked some letterhead from a company called TVRO Innovations. Dear Mr. Thomas, our legal department has determined that this antenna is legal for use within amateur radio. And we went on and on and on with all these outrageous claims. We put it in an envelope. We put some stamps on it. One of our staff was going to Kentucky for a convention. We had to mail this from Glasgow, Kentucky. And Brad gets this thing in, and he's looking, and he says, oh, my goodness. Oh, boy, the members are going to be all, oh, we can't run this ad. I know. I'll go see Ed. He'll help me. So Brad comes in with this ad. He says, Ed, we got this. What can we do? And I'm looking. I said, oh, Brad, this is terrible. But, you know, every single one of these claims is technically true. I'm not too sure the basis on which we could reject this ad. In the meantime, I've opened the drawer, and I'm pulling out the evidence of the fake letterhead and all this stuff. And he's looking at me, finally says, what are you doing over there? And he looks at you, son of a gun. He was a little more colorful than that, but you get the general idea. I'm famous at headquarters for being a jokester. Well, I don't know, have any of you ever met Alan Pitts, media PR manager? Nice guy, right? Absolutely great guy. Well, he's at headquarters his first day, and I go into his office to greet him. Welcome to the staff and all that. And, of course, he has this completely empty desk. Well, 2 weeks later, I walked into his office, and there were two, count them, two small piles of paper on his desk. So we're chatting, and I say, oh, I see you've already made a shambles of your office. And he's, well, what do you mean? And I pointed at the two piles. Look at that. What a mess. You've got to put those away. He says, well, I had that. That's a... I said, Alan, I could absolutely not work that way. He says, ah, you're one of those, everything in a place. And I says, yes, and it has to be in it. Well, 2 weeks later, he walks into my office. And he looks around, and the look on his face was absolutely unbelievable as he realized how badly he had just been had. Now, ARRL also runs a pretty serious RFI program. ARRL.org/RFI has a lot of great information about RFI. Mike Gruber edits the RFI book. We're also now working with measurement of noise from different devices. Now, how many people think noise levels are rising? Every hand's going to go up. How many people have less noise than they did 10 years ago? No hands are up. You get the idea. A lot of this is coming from power line noise. Secondary to this, we're seeing more and more noise from noisy devices. We have concerns about a lot of these. I've seen on QRZ and other sites the occasional discussion of the RFI device from Hades. We've checked a lot of those and found that the problem is not necessarily as severe as what the concerns are that it could be. But, you know, these things need to be looked at one at a time. We have found a few clunkers over the years, and we'll keep doing so. We'll make measurements now of some of the noise, because the first thing we want to do is, okay, people are worried about complex fluorescent lights. So I went down to a Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, and I bought one each of all they had. I took them in, and we set them up, and they were all about 30 dB below the FCC limits. We took them over to WNAW, where we had some Romex-type wiring set up with electrical wiring and a light switch about 10 feet below the antenna right over the building. So it's a pretty good worst case. We couldn't hear noise from these, but we're still getting some reports. What we think is happening is some of these are being imported from China and other places with very, very poor control. They don't all meet FCC, or there could be some power, some quality control issues. We've also worked a lot directly with manufacturers. I mean, a lot of that is related to broadband over power line issues over the last years, but we worked with Motorola, HomePlug. We've got a lot of these companies now are not using the amateur bands in their products because of direct work with that. We recently had a company, Maxim. Not related to Hiram at all. They make integrated circuits. They're making integrated circuits for power line systems operating below 500 kilohertz. He said, Ed, we'd like to bring some of these to headquarters and work with you on some testing. If there's issues, we want to know about now in the design phases. And we found those to be remarkably clean and very impressive. We had it set up in that wiring at WNAW, so we put the bulletins on. We were cranking with 1,500 watts on, seven bands, and this stuff just kept working like we weren't even there. So he went away pretty pleased. In fact, what he told me, he says, Ed, my boss told me I was nuts for coming here because he says, we can never please the league. Well, we were very pleased, so we were happy to say so. And on our webpage, you'll see a lot of information about RFI. The new webpage, well, it was new. There's no doubt that when this came out, there were some pretty interesting issues with it. We've heard from a few members about their likes and dislikes on the page, one of those in a little greater proportion than the others. But what I did is at headquarters, we have access to the old page. So I needed to find something, and I'm on the new site, and this is prior to the search engine working better. I can't find it. So I could find it easily on the old site. So I went to the old site. The search engine on the old site doesn't work any longer. And I'll be darned, on the old site, I couldn't find it. So it dawned on me then that, you know, a lot of the things about the site on the old site is it was very easy for me to find things because I did it all the time and I knew just where they were. If we had gone from the new site to the old site, I think we would have had just as much concern from a lot of people about how hard things are to find now and how different it is. Give it some time.
Ed Hare, W1RFI, the manager of the ARRL lab, discussing the nuts and bolts of the product reviews that appear on a regular basis on QST, the monthly official magazine of the ARRL, the National Association of Amateur Radio. Ed spoke during the 2011 Dayton Hamvention this past May. The RAIN report is copyright 1990-2011. RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Hawley, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you all a very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.